Thank you, Sharon. Wow. It is a beautiful name, isn't it? Scripture tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. And you know what that name is? Jesus. 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 There's just something about that name. Isn't that the song we sing from time to time? What's the saying? We've already had church, right? We're having church this morning. Are you excited to be here this morning? My goodness. You should be excited because I've already preached my second point, so we might get out of here a little early, right? During the prayer time, I talked about my second point. You see there on the screen, we're talking through this series through Ephesians, this walk through Ephesians that I've entitled The Startling Mystery. And again, the reason why I entitled that, because there is some sort of mystery that will always be there when we think about what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And Paul talks about this in detail as we walk through this, and we see that in Christ, in Him, through Him, and you see all these references of how the gospel, it's funneled through the man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And so that's why I say the startling mystery. 2 weeks ago, we began this four-part sermon called Blessed in Christ, and we looked at how we were blessed in Christ. We talked about the eulogy and how God eulogizes us and how our lives really should eulogize Him. And when we talk about eulogizing, we're talking about speaking well of God. How does what we say and what we do and even what we think speak well of God? And so now we get to the point where in this long, long sentence in Greek in Ephesians chapter 1, this verses 3, you see there on your screen, 14. I'm going to read that in just a moment. We get to the point where Paul decides to lay out for us just how we are blessed in Christ. And so that's what I want to spend the next 3 weeks doing, is talking about seven ways in which we are blessed in Christ. This morning, we're looking about how we're appointed, we're adopted, as I've already talked about during the prayer time, and accepted. And these are important things for us as we think about our lives and think about the needs in which God has provided in Jesus Christ when we think about these words. And not only these words, but the ones that we'll look at in the upcoming weeks. When we looked at how we are acquired and how we are appointed and how we are appropriate, or I say appointed, acquired and acquainted. I'm backtracking, aren't I? Acquired and acquainted and apportioned and appropriated. I'm doing some alliteration to help you maybe remember these seven ways, right? So think about that. All these ways in which God has blessed us in Christ Jesus. I want to read through this passage of Scripture. I will do this the next 2 weeks as well, because it is one sentence, and consequently, it's one thought. It's one thought that Paul gives us here. So let me read this. It's on the screen for you. You can follow along or in your copy of God's Word. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for Himself according to His favor and will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He favored us with in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He planned in Him, for the administration of the days of fulfillment, to bring everything together in the Messiah, both things in heaven and things on earth in Him. In Him we were also made His inheritance, predestined according to the purpose of the One who works out everything in agreement with the decision of His will, so that we who had already put our hope in the Messiah might bring praise to His glory. in him. You also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him, when you believed, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. This morning, as we look at the first three of these seven ways in which we are blessed in Christ, the appointed, the adopted, and the accepted. I know many of you, as you have anticipated maybe this sermon, we look at this, especially this first one, and I use the word appointed. In Scripture, we see that it's translated that we were chosen. This word in Greek is eklegomai, which means to pick out, to choose, or to pick out or choose out for one's self. It means to choose for one's self. And now we get caught up in that, I think, in evangelical life. And I'm not going to pretend to know everything here this morning when it comes to this idea of election, this doctrine of election. This is a very much a hot point in the life of Southern Baptists at this time, especially when we think about Calvinism and when did God choose, when did he elect, and who did he elect, and did he choose some for heaven and choose some for hell. That is not my goal this morning. My goal is not to unravel that mystery, because honestly, I can't do that for you this morning. I cannot do that this morning. I'm not going to pretend to. I'm going to tell you what I see in Scripture when it comes to the point of God choosing us, of God appointing us. The glaring thing for me is the fact that it's centered in Christ. It's centered in Christ. I think we get hung up on the fact that we're appointed or that we're chosen, and we gloss over the fact that it's in Jesus Christ. And so I want to examine that. I want to talk about this a little bit more. I do want to talk about the timing, in the sense, as we look at this, we have to keep in mind that as human beings, we are confined by space and time. Our God, our Father, our Creator is not confined by space and time. He lives outside of that, which is crazy to me, because my mind cannot comprehend that. Because truly, I mean, if you think about it, we do not even live in the present. We say we live in the present, but in this moment, it's already gone, and it's gone, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. So we do not live truly in the present. In fact, our past really, it governs most of our life. We can anticipate the future, and we can recall the past, but honestly, our past is what we use to live in the present and hopefully make our way towards the future. Does that make sense this morning? However, God is not governed by that, because he lives in the eternal present. That is why when he revealed his name to Moses in the burning bush, do you remember what he told Moses? He says, "I am that I am." And can you imagine Moses hearing those words? And I, if I was Moses, that would just blow my mind. It would just blow my mind, because I cannot comprehend that concept, because I am confined by time, but God is not. So let's talk about this for just a moment. And I want to bring in what Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words says about this word eklegomene. It says it's not necessarily implying the rejection of what is not chosen, but choosing with the subsidiary ideas of kindness or favor and love. And what I want to focus on this morning in God's choosing, it says here in Scripture, if you go back to it, it says, "For he chose us because we merited it." He chose us because back at the beginning of time, he saw Jonathan Whitlock, and he understood that Jonathan, he was something else. He could do a lot of things. In fact, he was incredibly talented. He had all these things going for him, and God said, "Man, I want that guy on my side." That's not what Scripture says, is it? It says he chose us in him. So in reality, my choosing, my election, if you will, my appointment, if you will, is in Christ Jesus, because Christ is the elect. Christ is the chosen one. And so if my life is now hidden in Christ, guess what? I share in that. That's what we're talking about this morning. It's not that I had some sort of ability. You know, I used to, I've told y'all about an embarrassing moment when I played basketball before. But I've had moments in my life where when we are choosing up teams, and some of you may have experienced this before in your life, especially when you're not just sporting events, but on various things, you may be separating in teams, and they have a team captain, right? And that's such a stressful time, because, I mean, for me, I was always, oh, I hope I get picked. Oh, I hope I get picked. And it was so, I don't know, not, I don't want to say depressing, but that moment when you're the last one, right? Is it, I don't know if you don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise my hand, because I've had those moments where I was picked last, okay? And there was a time when in college, when I worked at Barry's IGA. I mean, some of you may remember Barry's IGA, the grocery store that is now the building that houses Kroger. I worked there not only as a cashier and a bagger. I bagged groceries, but I also worked in the office. I would work really late, and then I would drive out to the Lock and Dam, because they have basketball courts, and I love to play basketball. And so I would go out there late at night after just a super long day at work, and I still had energy to play basketball till about 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how I did that, but I did. And they would have just pickup games, you know. They would pick up games, and I would be out there and just shooting around and just hoping that I could just make my way in. And, you know, with if you've ever done anything like that, you know that they have two teams, and then you have some the other guys that are out there, or girls that are out there, depending upon where you're at, and you know, and they're waiting for the next game, because they're the one who has ups. You know, if when the other game is over, this team right here gets to play the team that won, or if they decide to lose, or not lose but leave, then you play whoever's left. So I would kind of get in, and they would kind of look at me, I mean, right here. And honestly, I've gained some weight since about, what, dear, what, 30, 40 pounds since college? I don't know. I was small. And so I really didn't look like a basketball player. I guess that's what I'm getting at. But one thing that I loved to do when I played basketball was go all out. I mean, I was hustling. I was, and when you get out to the Lock and Dam, there's not a whole lot of players that like to do that. If anybody's been out there, there's not a lot. And so I would get on the team, and they would just be, their eyes would get big, because I was all over the place. I was quick. That's one thing I had going for me. I was quick. And so it made me feel really good that the next game, say we, there were some really talented guys out there that played basketball. It would really make me feel good that if my team lost, and that happened more often than not, if my team lost, that those who were waiting, if they had an extra spot, they would say, "Hey, man, would you play with us?" They would choose me. Does that make sense? They would choose me. It made me feel really good. And what I want to tell you this morning, as we have already talked about this, is Father, this creator of the universe, because we place our faith in Jesus Christ, he says, "I choose you." That should make us feel really good this morning. It should make us feel encouraged this morning, because we do something as simple as place our faith in Jesus Christ, that he is all, and he has done everything that we could possibly do. It's not about what we could do. It's not about our abilities. It's about what he did on the cross. It's not because I try to do so much good that God says, you got to be mine. I have to have you. No, he looks at Jesus Christ and he says, I have to have you because you believe in my son. That's what we're talking about this morning. So what we got to look at are, I think, are three questions, and I've kind of already talked around this, but there's three questions, and they'll come up on the screen. It says, at what point in time did God make his choice? We got to cross that. Through which person did God make his choice? And then for what purpose did God make his choice? So let's look at that real quick. I want to talk about the first two questions together. I want to bring in a very helpful commentary by John Phillips called Exploring Ephesians and Philippians. And this is what he has to say in regards to time and the person, the point in time and the person. He says, we are hindered in experience and understanding by the limited nature of our being. As finite creatures, we live in the here and now, and we can deal with only one thing at a time. Life is presented to us, so to speak, in tiny little packages. We live it moment by moment. The future lies before us, but we cannot experience it until it touches us in a fleeting moment of the present before it recedes instantly into the past. We can anticipate the future, and we can recall the past, but we live in the flickering moment we call the present. In God's mind, however, the past, present, and future are swallowed up in an all-embracing present. Thus, when we read that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, we must realize that the Holy Spirit has stated this issue from our perspective. Now, I want you to focus in on that. The Holy Spirit has stated this issue from our perspective because this is what we experience. This is what we know because we are governed by the past, present, and the future, and God is not. Since God lives in the present tense, there is to Him no time difference between the moment He chose me and the moment I chose Him. That should blow your mind this morning. I really got bogged down on this as I was looking at this because I wanted to treat this, honestly, without any bias. And that's really hard to do as a human being when we go to the Scripture. And I'm not saying that I did, but I really got bogged down on this issue. The perception of time difference is ours alone. It's ours alone. It's not to God. From that standpoint of God's eternal present tense, both acts are simultaneous. That's interesting, isn't it? It's an interesting way to look at it. That explanation does not, however, lessen the mystery of God's grace. That's what he says. So what he's talking about, because we are confined by space and time, and God is not, then it's really hard for us to grasp this idea of God's choosing us. And again, it's not so much that God looked at anybody and they said, okay, you're going to heaven, you're going to heaven, you're going to heaven, you're going to heaven, but you're going to hell. I don't believe that. I'll be honest with you. I don't. I believe that my appointment is rooted in the fact that when I was almost 8 years old, God reached into time by His grace, and He revealed my need for His grace, and I said, I accept. So we're chosen in Him. But for what purpose? For what purpose is it? Is it so that I can flaunt it to the world? Guess what? I'm chosen and you're not. No, it's not for that at all. It says to be holy and blameless. To be holy and blameless. So God's choosing, He chooses us out of something into something. He appoints us from being in sin and in the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. God already sees us positionally as holy and without blame because He sees us in Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is to make us holy and without blame in the everyday aspects of daily life. So that's what's happening in your life now. If you have been chosen by God, and when I say, again, when I'm chosen by God, when you are a child of God, you have placed your faith in Him. He has chosen you to be holy and blameless, and the Holy Spirit is working on your life in such a way to make you like that. What's that song that we sing? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Right? Remember that song? He's still working on me. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 15 says this: "So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Well, that sounds kind of weird. Work out, that means it's dependent upon us. Well, no. Listen, for it is God who is working in you. So there's some sort of this cooperation that has to happen within us, that the Holy Spirit is working in us to help us to be holy and blameless, but we have to acquiesce to what the Spirit is doing in our life. He says, "For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to will and to act for His good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, he says, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world." So what purpose is our choosing? Is so that we are holy and blameless to the world around us. So people will know, people that are without Christ, they will know that we are different. And we are different because we are in Christ Jesus. All right, let's get to the second one, because adopted. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, because I preached this point during the prayer time, okay? But I do want to bring out just a few things, and we'll go to the third point rather quickly. This Greek word is weothesia, which means to make sons or adopted as sons. It's from weos and thesis, weos a son, thesis a placing, and it's akin to tithemi, which means to place. And it signifies the place and condition of a son given to one to whom it does not naturally belong. So what he's saying is that we, before Christ, before Jesus Christ, we were in no way related to God. We're not in the family of God. But when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, this wonderful thing takes place, and God adopts us now as His children, as we said earlier, so that we can cry out, "Abba, Father," and we can enjoy all the privileges of being a son or daughter just as Jesus does, because we are in Him. Our life is hidden in Him. So let's talk real quick. There's three questions that I ask. When does the adoption take place? How does the adoption take place? And why does the adoption take place? It says that we were predestined to be sons, and this Greek word is proorizo, I think that's how you pronounce it, I'm not sure, to predetermine, decide beforehand, to mark off or set off the boundaries of something. I read one commentary that said that our choosing, our appointment, has to do with God, what God chooses us out of, and our adoption has to do with what God is predestining us for. One has to do with where we were in the past, and one has to do with where we are now in the future. Does that make sense? So here's the crux of it all. He is working on us so that we can realize in our lives right now that we are sons or daughters of the Almighty God, of the King. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, I am confident that the God who began a good work in you will do what? He'll be faithful to complete it. God is working on us. He is continually working out that adoption within our lives so that we can truly live like sons or daughters of the King. So that's when it takes place. How does it take place? Well, it's through Christ Jesus. I mean, again, go back to it. You got to think about John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, and I won't go there, but I want to focus in on verse 12. It says that those who believe in him, what? Gave them the right to become children of God. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, it says that we have all the rights and the privileges of being a child of God. I mean, think about this, and I know this, I want to make an application between the prodigal son and this, and I'm not going to argue that the son was a son before he left, but what I want to focus on, and I believe this is what happens in our life when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. You think about when the son came home, what was the father already prepared to do? Kill the fatted calf, right? He had all this plan before the son came home. He was going to reinstate him as a son, right? And this is the idea here that we see in our adoption as children of God, that God has this plan, everything that he's going to do when we place our faith in him, when we become his children. That's what we're talking about. He said, give him a bath. Put clean clothes on him, put him robe, put that ring of sonship on his finger, kill the fatted calf, right? Everything. Hey, immediately, we enjoy the privileges of being a child of God. To his favor and will. To his favor, I mean, it's very simple. It's because God graced it upon us. This Greek word is eutychia, which implies a gracious purpose, a good object being in view, with the idea of a resolve showing the willingness with which the resolve is made. So there's this resolve in God that it's to his favor, and not only that, but we bring in the accompanying word to his will, which is thelema in Greek, which what one will or wishes or desires to do. God desires that we be called, that we experience all the privileges of being a son or daughter of the king. All right, lastly, let's look at this accepted. I mean, that's a lot right there, isn't it? Now, be aware, the next 2 weeks, I'm only going to tackle two and two, so that'll get us to our seven. So may not be quite as long the next 2 weeks. There's just a lot here. He says, I want to bring in what the King James says, and this is where I get the word accepted, okay, in case you're wondering. The King James translates this verse, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. This word right here is actually only used twice in Scripture. It's charistao, which means highly favored or make accepted, to pursue with grace. Only twice in Scripture. The only other time this word is used in the Greek New Testament is when the angel is talking to Mary. And he says, you are highly favored. Isn't that interesting? I just thought that was interesting. That's just a little tidbit. Paul uses this here to help us to understand that we are accepted. That is one of the greatest needs of mankind, is to be accepted. We want to be accepted by our family. We want to be accepted by our friends. We want to be accepted by our classmates. We want to be accepted by our coworkers. We want to be accepted by those in our neighborhoods. We want to be accepted by all the civic groups that we are a part of. We have this desire because God placed it in us to be relational people. When he looked at Adam and he said, it's not good for you to be alone, it was because this stamp was on his life that he was a relational person. We are to be in relationship with God and we're in relationship with people. So we desire acceptance. And I'm telling you this morning, one of the greatest things, one of the greatest desires of all time, and many people walk on this face of this earth and they do not even realize this, their greatest desire is to be accepted by the Creator. The Bible talks about this as that gaping hole within all of us, this God-shaped hole in all of us. So that tells me that we have this desire to be accepted by our Creator, and the only way that that happens this morning, the only way that it happens is in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible tells me. That's why I love the fact that Sharon's saying what a beautiful name it is, because it's in Christ Jesus that we're appointed. It's in Christ Jesus that we're adopted, and it's in Christ Jesus that we're accepted. The basis for our acceptance is Christ himself. Matthew 3:17, when Jesus came up out of the waters after he was baptized, you remember what the voice from heaven said? This is my beloved son. I am in him I am well pleased, right? In him I am well pleased. What is the reason for our acceptance? Well, I think we find out because he says, to the praise of his glorious grace. To praise, it's for God's honor, for God's glory, and his alone. His alone. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 says this. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment so that you can determine what really matters and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, and here it is, to the glory and praise of God. That is the reason, to the glory and praise of God. So this morning, as we've looked at these three things, and I know that it might have seemed like I had a fire hose and I was just thrusting it upon you this morning, because I get excited when I think about my position in Jesus Christ. I am so blessed in him. I'm appointed. I'm chosen. That makes me feel incredible. And then it makes me even feel more incredible that I'm adopted. I can be considered a son of the creator of the universe. I mean, who wouldn't want that kind of relationship? I mean, if God is who the Bible says he is, and I believe that with everything that I am, then why wouldn't I want to be a son of the Creator? I mean, my goodness, I have an incredible earthly father, and I love him to death, and today is his 85th birthday. And I wouldn't have wanted a different father, okay? And I know that there's some of you in here, you may not have had a father or experienced a father like that, and I want to tell you that you can in God, and even much more so. But the point is, I love my father, and I'm so excited to be his son, to be called his son. But oh, more so, to be considered a son of the Most High God. For all eternity. That's my position now. Isn't that incredible? And then to put on top of that, I'm accepted. One of my greatest needs of all my life. God says, I accept you. I accept you not because you do this or that, but because you believe my son. I want to ask you this morning, I have a question. It's going to come up on the screen. Have you accepted all that God has planned for you in Jesus so that your life might point others to him? I'm going to ask that one more time. Have you accepted all that God has planned for you in Jesus so that your life might point others to him? Because that's the goal of all of this, of being appointed, of being adopted, of being accepted, is that the world looks at us and they say, you're different. And our response can be, that's because I'm a son of the creator of the universe. That's because I'm a daughter of the creator of the universe. Have you accepted that this morning? If you haven't, make this morning that opportunity. Because God is speaking to you this morning through his Holy Spirit. And his grace, it is available and it's abundant and it will meet every need. And your most significant need in your life in this moment is that you need Jesus. It's the most significant spiritual need because you have sins that are not forgiven because you haven't placed your faith in Jesus. And God wants to make that right this morning. So won't you accept that offer this morning and make this the morning that your spiritual birth happens and you can say, I'm now a son, I'm now a daughter of the creator of the universe. Would you do that this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, this morning your spirit is speaking to us and it's reminding some of us just how special that you have made us. Not special because of who we are necessarily, but special because of who you made us in Christ Jesus. We are appointed, we are adopted, and we are accepted in you, and we just want to give you the praise for that, and we just pray that our lives would be worthy of that appointment, that adoption, and that acceptance. But Father, there may be people here this morning that they would say, I have never placed my faith in Jesus. And I would say that I am not a son. I am not a daughter of the Creator of the universe. But I want that this morning. God, would your Spirit just compel them by your love to come forward and experience their spiritual birth this morning. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you